chapters that Tulip, you know, is 5 points of the doctrines of grace, and irresistible grace could be called a part of the effectual calling, efficacious grace. And so anyway, the doctrine of irresistible grace is whatever God decrees to happen is inevitably going to come to pass, even in the salvation of the individual. You know, and people don't want to hear that often because they want to think they had a hand in their salvation. The Holy Spirit never fails to bring salvation to those sinners that He personally calls, because they've already been given to Christ by the Father. So at the heart of this doctrine of irresistible grace is the question, why does one person believe the gospel and another not? Is it because one is smarter or has better reasoning capabilities or possesses some other characteristics that allow him to realize the importance of the gospel message, or is it because God does something unique in the lives of those whom He saves? And we know the answer to that. And that's found in John 3, where Christ tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so, in many of the Arminian churches, they get the cart before the horse. They talk about believing first, which results in your salvation. But Christ says just the opposite. Christ says that you must be drawn before you can believe. And Christ says that if you believe, you've already been born again by the Spirit of God. So that really is the crux of the matter as it relates to this doctrine of irresistible grace. The Bible tells us that God saves people according to His mercy through the washing of regeneration and receiving of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. In other words, those who believe the gospel and are saved do so because they've been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And so other scriptures that we could look at, Tom mentioned Ephesians 2:8, Ephesians 2:1, Colossians 2:1 and 13, because we find here that a man is actually dead in their trespasses and sin. They can do absolutely nothing of their own ability to come to Christ because they're spiritually dead. And so a good illustration of this is like with Lazarus, you know. Jesus told Lazarus to come forth, and Lazarus came forth out of the tomb, and that's what happened to every one of God's little children when He called them from death to life. And so, you know, the reason I think that this is called irresistible grace is it always results in God's intended outcome. You know, I mean, in other words, there's no potential to it. It's absolute fact that all that He calls will come to Him, and all that come to Him He will in no wise cast out. You know, it's like Tom said regarding creation. In Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Anything God decrees is an absolute fact. Okay? And we often refer to, you know, Romans 8:26-39, the golden chain of salvation, you know. And we see that those whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, and those whom He predestinated, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. And so, you know, I've had people say, oh, Larry, the problem is you've got your little tulip, you've got your little package of tulip. I agree with Tom. Every point in the 5 points in the doctrines of grace stand or fall on the whole package. It's a package deal, okay? And anyway, just some other passages, then I'll complete this, that you might want to look up on your own sometime. The irresistible call can be found in Matthew 22:14, Romans 1:18-32. One of my favorite passages is John 6:37-47, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so, now many people have resisted, like Tom said, the doctrine of irresistible grace, because if it gives God all the glory, it takes away man's free will. And so many doctrines are based upon the doctrine of free will. But let's remember that calling is an act of the grace of God in Christ by which he calls dead men in sin and lost in Adam. And, you know, we also find in Ephesians 1:6 that we have been predestinated unto adoption. Before we're even born again, we've been predestinated to be a recipient of this grace. And there's another scripture. People say, well, God doesn't force anyone. He doesn't bring them kicking and screaming into the kingdom. Well, he does make us willing in the day of his power, you know. And we can see that in scripture as well. And so anyway, that's kind of my thinking on the subject this morning. And I think Tom really brought up some really good points on the subject. And I encourage anyone that hears this to do your own study on grace and do a word study on it and do some studies on election and predestination and, you know, I like the term particular redemption a little better than limited atonement, because God's atonement is unlimited to his elect, okay? And then also the fact that he will keep us. He will preserve us. I like preservation a little bit better than perseverance, because so many people want to take the perseverance part out of context and make it back to man again. So, but anyway, that's my thinking this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer together, and then we're going to sing a couple hymns and a psalm before we conclude our service out today. If there's anyone that truly holds to the doctrines of sovereign grace, and the reason I say truly, as we, Tom and Tori and Rosette and I and Mark were just talking about this morning, many people give lip service to the fact they believe in sovereign grace, but in fact, in reality, it's just a window dressing. When you actually get to know the people, they are conditionalists. They have conditions upon God's grace, and God cannot. God is independent of his creation. He's not dependent upon anything or the will of man. So let's just have a time of prayer together. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together around your word, and we pray that you would continue to reveal your word to us, because you're the only one that can reveal it to us by your Spirit. We pray that you would be with us in the remainder of this time, that we honor and exalt your name. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've got to get my glasses here. Okay, the first, we're singing out of this old school hymnal, and by the way, if any of you want to obtain a copy of this old school hymnal, I even found out a friend of mine, Mike Orr, emailed me this last week, and he just got his copy of the old school hymnal. He ordered it, but you can get it from the old school hymnal company incorporated. They're in Birmingham, Alabama, and they have an office in Elmwood, Georgia. And if you Google up old school hymnal, you'll be able to get a copy. The first hymn we're going to sing is 226, and this is taken from Song of Solomon 2:10, but it's really talking about the bride of Christ. And many times I've had people take issue with me over I don't have any problem with saying that the bride of Christ is synonymous with the church. Some people don't like that. Some people take the definition of the church as a very narrow definition. It's only a local assembly. I don't go along with that, because I believe that Tom and Tori are in the church, and they're from Vancouver, Washington, and they're not here locally. Now, someday they might be, but right now they're not. And I'm from Pineville, Missouri, and they're from Vancouver, and they know that I'm not in their local assembly down there, okay? But I think we're both part of the bride of Christ, okay? The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to his Son to save and take her home above. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay. She was his bride before she knew she had a husband dear. And when for her his choice was made, it caused her to draw near. When she adorned with all his grace shall be exalted there. The queen with all was ever half so fair. The turtle dove is singing now, winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair dove, I'll take you home to stay. Okay, we're going to sing a psalm. Well, we might as well sing the hymn while we're right here. The last hymn we're going to sing is 308. And I started to say this a while ago, and then I got off track. If there's anyone here that truly believes in the sovereign grace of God, and you would like to join us on this fellowship, and you have no ulterior motives, okay, in other words, we're not wanting any contentions or arguments or strife over doctrine. But if you're truly a believer in sovereign grace, if you will send me a request for a link, you can join us in this fellowship, and I'll make sure that you get a link. And the way you send it to me is just go to LarryWPhillips.com, go to the contact section, and say, send me a link to your fellowship. Okay, the next one is 308, and this kind of goes along with our subject of irresistible grace today. This is written by John Newton. And I like John Newton's songs, and he's got it straight. He's got everything in proper order as far as salvation. This is entitled "Lord, Revive Us." Savior, visit darkened creation, grant us Lord of gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Lord, revive us, O revive us. All our help must come from thee. Keep no longer at a distance. Shine upon us from on high, lest for want of thy assistance every plant should droop and die. Surely once thy gardens flourished, every part looked gay and green. Then thy word our spirit nourished, happy seasons we have seen. Dearest Savior, hasten hither, thou canst make them bloom again. Oh, permit them not to wither, that not all our hopes be vain. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us, all our helpless come from thee. Lord, revive us, still revive us, all our helpless come from thee. Okay, the last one we're going to sing is a psalm. And this is taken from Psalm, the 86th Psalm, and from verse 1 through 17 of the 86th Psalm. Thy way, teach me, Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart, thy name to fear. My Lord and my God, with my whole heart I'll praise. And ever thy name will revere. For great are thy love and thy kindness to me. My soul from hell thou dost raise. The God and the violent sea for my life. Forgetful of thee and my praise, but thou, Lord, art merciful, gracious thou art, abounding in truth and in love, and found unto me thy rich grace now bestow. My servant makes one from above. The Son of thy hand may redeem by thy grace. I shall prove to show thou me that all those who made me may be well shown. My help, Lord, and strength are me. Well, Tom and I want to thank you guys for joining us today. And if you... this will be placed on Sermon Audio and on other platforms. So if you hear us on Sermon Audio or iConnect, well, no, I can't put it on iConnect because it's longer. They only let me go up to 10 minutes on iConnect. But if you go, you'll hear us on Brand New Tube and BitChute. You'll also hear us on YouTube and Twitter and Gab and MeWe and the other platforms that we do. If you hear this and it strikes a chord with you and you want to explore more of the doctrines of grace, you're welcome to join us. God bless.